and W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The wind has been whipping through several southern states with at least 9 people dead in Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky. The wind was so strong in Nashville that it shook George Babb's semi-trailer and he pulled off the road.
Let's sit back and wait for the car now. I'll find someplace safe to park.
The storm system is now moving toward the northeast, where a mix of snow, sleet, and rain is expected. Some snowbound residents in Southern California are being told they could be stuck for a while. CBS's Steve Futterman.
It could be another frustrating 7 days for those snowbound in the San Bernardino Mountains. County officials are doing what they can to clear snowbound roads, but those stuck are being told be prepared to wait another week. Sheriff Shannon Dykus.
As we contact people that are having difficulties with food resources, we have meals ready to eat that we will transfer to them to help them stabilize their food situation.
No new snow is in the forecast for Southern California. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Northern California, Sierra Nevada is in for another round of snow this weekend. The White House doctor says President Biden had skin cancer removed during his physical last month. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
During that exam, a small skin lesion on President Biden's chest was removed for a biopsy, and it turned out to be cancerous. In a new memo released today, the president's doctor said it was a basal cell carcinoma, a common form of skin cancer that does not spread like other more serious types.
It's life in prison without the possibility of parole for Alec Murdaugh in the killings of his wife and son. CBS's Nikki Batiste.
The defense team told me they plan to appeal the guilty verdict, but regardless of that outcome, Murdaugh could face life in prison for his alleged financial crimes, some of which he admitted to during this trial. I spoke with two of Maggie Murdaugh's close friends today who told me this verdict was the justice they'd been hoping for.
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz meets with President Biden at the White House to talk about their ongoing support for Ukraine, and it follows the Biden administration's announcement that it's sending another aid package. Chancellor Scholz stresses Germany is in for the long haul.
At this time, I think it is very important that we give the message that we will continue to do so as long as it takes and as long as it is necessary.
Nearly 60 years after his name was first submitted, retired Army Colonel Paris Davis, one of the first black officers in the Green Berets, has received the Medal of Honor.
Thank you, President Biden. This medal reflects what teamwork, service, and dedication.
Stocks rallied on Wall Street. The Dow closed up 387 points. NASDAQ jumped 226. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers wants to sell 3 state office buildings in downtown Madison, shrinking state government's real estate space in Wisconsin's capital by 28%. Selling them would save the state more than $440 million in upkeep. It's part of a larger strategy to have 5% of state government employees working outside the Madison area by 2030. There's a bill to increase penalties for rioting in Wisconsin. The bill's author is Republican Senator Van Wongard, who insists it won't affect peaceful protesters.
It's not about stamping down the freedom to have that ability to go talk. It's about eliminating the potential for somebody getting hurt.
The idea for the bill stems from the deadly Kenosha riots of 2020. In sports, the Badgers lost a heartbreaker to Purdue last night, 63-61. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM. Your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I'm still looking at the pictures of CPAC and going, there's literally no one there. Literally no one there. In fact, you know, Don Jr. gave a speech to a handful of people, and my first thought was, I'll bet you Daddy's going to mock him tomorrow. I'll bet you it's going to happen. I'll bet you Trump mocks his own kid tomorrow for not bringing the energy or bringing anyone in there. And I can't even talk about the insanity and the idiocy that he talked about because nobody else heard it. So why amplify it? But here to share some thoughts and some fun about the week that was, one of my favorite people in the whole world, Patty Vasquez. She's a comedian, a policy advisor, activist, former candidate for House in Illinois. Also an incredible radio host, heard on WCPT AM 820 in Chicago, heard 5 to 7 p.m. daily. With kind words, her website, if you want to look out more. Patty, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, no, thank you for inviting me. And I got to have you on soon again, too, because we do need to do these conversations and have perspectives from outside sort of our bubble a little bit, right?
Yeah, no, I love doing your show. I love having you on because it's important to, again, you bang back and forth on some of the insanity that we see. CPAC is the biggest joke of the week. It's one of those things, if Marjorie Taylor Greene goes on a anti-Semitic rant, would anybody hear it?
It's I love those long shots all the networks had, and as soon as they would cut to them, they try to zoom in to go past all the empty chairs to whoever was speaking on stage. It was fabulous.
Oh, but here's the thing. They wouldn't, there's nobody there, but they wouldn't let Nick Fuentes in.
Yeah. That's got to burn a little bit, don't you think? What? I'm one of you. Let me in. No, you're too controversial for us.
No, I see. I'm not going there. I'm thinking the sponsorship check bounced.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because look, he had a private dinner with Trump. Trump is the center of their fundraising. Without him, nobody bothers to come at all. Because evidently, Trump claims that tomorrow is sold out. Now I got to wonder if they're bussing homeless people in or something and giving free Trump water or something, you know, vintage Trump water. But
they might, Kim, is Kim giving, we're going to get to Kim and her little deal on there. Cause it cracks me up.
Have you seen her?
Oh my God. The eyelashes.
Oh my
God. I thought
they had
the teleprompters on her eyelashes so she could read them better. Cause she was like, I am here selling this wonderful product that you should buy to support us.
He's selling gold. Kim's medals. Selling gold. At CPAC. Gold.
Yeah. Yeah. For liberty. No, it's for liberty. It's gold for liberty.
Here, let me fleece you for liberty.
Yes, exactly. That's all they know how to do is fleece people for liberty.
You know, my question was, and I haven't seen it, and I've asked a couple people I know who are there to see if they brought that. You remember that stupid gold Trump? That big golden Trump thing that was made in Mexico?
Yes.
I want to know if that's there. Or did they melt that down and make little ones?
Wasn't there something in the Bible about thou shalt not idol, false idols?
So you listened last night then. Okay.
No. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yes. What? Yeah, that's the whole thing. Idolatry. This is what makes me crazy, is all the things that they say they embrace, whether it's the flag, the Constitution, or the Bible, they don't. It means nothing to them except for the grift. That's it.
Oh, it's all about the grift. And that's the weird thing, is even the people, I tell my friends who this, who have literally bought the hat and the shirt and the flag and the bumper stickers, I go, you know, how much do you think you've been fleeced over the years by these grifters who don't care about you? And thank you, Rupert Murdoch, for at least being honest and giving me the bumper sticker of the ages, who's honest. It's not about red or blue. It's about green. It's about fleecing the flock. It's about getting these idiots to part with their money and enrich me.
Yeah, and they're willing to do it. They don't hesitate. They are so, I remember when I was younger and seeing people who like believed in something so strongly, I remember wishing, I wish I could believe that hard in something, but I'm like, I kind of like to treat people well and let that guide me rather than the one, like whatever it is, whether it's money or religion or, you know, patriotism. It's like, if you do the right thing, then you're going in the right direction in all those ways, making money maybe, or, you know, serving God and being a patriot.
See, my problem has always been extreme anything is bad for you.
Yes.
You know, it's like the Keith Richards' advice to his kid. Make sure drugs aren't the only thing in your life. It's kind of that. Make sure that you've got something else to fall back on. Maybe have some other interests. Maybe be less crazy and less extreme on one thing and kind of be well-rounded. That's always been my thought. Be sane.
But then you wouldn't be a conservative because you can't take in any new information. Whatever you have is what it has to be, and anything that challenges that is a threat to your own identity. Yeah. And I think that's what it comes from, where it comes from.
No, a threat to my own identity. That's a perfect way of putting it, because you know there's a lot of things that I personally wouldn't do. That you know, God bless you. You want to go do it? God bless you. Knock yourself out. And I look at this Jon Stewart interview, which I think is a master's class on. Really, simply a master's class with this state senator from Oklahoma who's writing the law and we're banning drag shows, and it was a perfect way that he flipped it around, going, you know, but you're going to ban these drag shows that kills no one, but those guns, we want more of them.
Yeah, and literally actually killed drag performers in Colorado. I mean, they're directing all this hatred towards people who are expressing themselves. The drag queens reading at story time has killed zero children.
Yeah.
And he was great about that. The number one threat to children are guns. And that guy still says, we need more guns.
More guns.
To be safer. Is that what you're saying? So when a cop show up at a domestic violence situation, you're hoping those cops should hope that there are more guns in that house so that they're safer? Yeah.
I love that he asked the question, at what point do we become safer? You know, how many more guns do we need? You know, is it a billion guns? And look, I'm not a gun grabber. I've got a gun, you know, not too far from me here. But I do think Stewart made the right point. People register to vote, and the guy made the point for him.
Yes. I love how he was like, what do you got to do to vote? Just say it. What do you got? Register. Right. But he tried flipping. He's like, no, but what about 17-year-olds? Isn't that infringing? No, that's not what we're saying. We already agree that there should be some regulation to it. And I was wondering if John wanted to go with the well-regulated militia, but he's like, all right, we'll leave that alone.
Yeah, no, it's a master's class on having a discussion. And I think this is the reason that conservatives no longer want to have discussions, or what's left of conservatives. I remember honest conservatives who held principles and believed in institutions and all of that stuff from way back in the 2014s, way back then.
See, they were such quaint times. Remember the good old days?
Ah, yes.
Remember... When who was the guy that would always cry with the deep tan?
Oh, Boehner. John Boehner.
Yeah. Just saying. Remember the good old days? The good old days of Obama's like, we're not going to let Obama get anything done and have a Supreme Court job. Those were the good old days of not having a Supreme Court appointment. It was really...
But it's the hypocrites that have taken over. I mean, you know, what's funny is you look at Tennessee that, you know, is now banning drag shows, and their governor did what?
Yes, he just said drag.
And
look,
I got to give him credit. You know, my wife pointed it out, said, look, he looked pretty good in it.
He did. He had the legs for it, 100%.
Yeah. And then there's this, the guy in Texas who wrote the bill. He's skipping through the park in a black sequin gown.
Yep. It's hilarious, so, but the children, they're a threat to a children.
So then it comes back to this position that, you know, my mind goes to, because I look at Florida now. You got Ron DeSantis, who's mm-hmm. who's going after Disney because Disney's woke, because mm-hmm. everything bad now is going to be woke. This guy, Ron Perry, I guess his name is. He's a pastor from the CEO of the Gathering Christian Ministry. They focus their outreach on men. Evidently, he's going to be one of the people on this board to oversee Disney. And it's his belief, and this is the problem with believers, birth control. Evidently, birth control causes men, because birth control, because you pee the birth control out, you women, you evil women. And somehow men drink water, tap water, and there's birth control in the tap water, and it makes men gay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the South Park underpants prophet.
Yeah. It's the pee in the water that's doing it. Every gay man, every gay woman says that if it wasn't for that pesky water, right?
But here's the thing.
I thought it tasted a little salty. What?
Oh, well, that's DeSanti water. no, but here's the thing, and this is what gets me. The people who are preaching this stuff, the people who keep bringing this stuff up, the people who are, it's all that's on their mind. They've it's almost like they've fetishized, you know, this stuff. These are the people who are doing this stuff. The people,
yes.
You know, I told the story the other day. Maybe you remember this when McCain ran for president. There was a guy who was the head of in Florida, the head of the McCain for president. He was a state senator. He put forth a piece of legislation making it a felony for men to solicit sex in a men's room, like in a park. So it was going to make this a felony, $1,000 fine, all kinds of horrible stuff. Only to find out that, you know, it was raining one day, so he ran into a men's bathroom, and there was a really large black man there. And he was so afraid of the thunder and the giant black man that he offered to, well, because
what?
That's what you do when you're afraid.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, not for nothing, but could we, oh my God. No, I don't remember that story.
Oh, it's what his last name was Allen. I think Bob Allen was his name, if I remember right.
Wow.
But it was one of those things where you go, all of these people who are, you know, the pastors who are on the anti-gay rants, who you find with a rubber suit on with a rubber thing jammed up.
Yeah, 100%.
How about we just live in a society where people live their best lives and mind their own freaking business? My grandfather always said, don't worry about me, worry about yourself. Maybe that could be our motto.
I think that would, mind your own business and use that ball gag if you want. That's on you, man.
Use that ball gag. That's a bumper sticker. Use that ball gag if you want.
Yeah. I would prefer if more people in Florida did, but that's just me.
Not my thing, but hey, you not know.
Hey.
It's like the guy I talked about the other night. A guy much bigger than me, and I'm not a small guy. Much bigger than me. A giant beard. You could barely see his face. Was probably 6'5", 6'6", 400 pounds if he was an ounce. Nice muumuu of a sundress, with a floppy white hat, with a dainty little clutch, little purse over his arm, with dirty work boots.
Oh, see, that's the thing that sometimes I'm like, can we just finish the outfit? That's all. I don't have any criticism of you wearing the dress. It's just, let's pull it together in the end. You copped out at the end.
he probably had a 15-foot. I doubt you're going to find size 15 pumps anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's probably a custom-made situation.
Yeah, no.
But still, a pair of Doc Martens would go with a nice sundress. All right. You don't need construction boots.
But I remember going, I said, look, I saw him. It shocked me. I kind of giggled. I'm like, good on you, buddy. And it went out about my day.
Living his best life.
Exactly. Don't care. It was just one of those things at Home Depot. It was wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. That's what I think it all comes from. Like, everyone in there, the people who do these things that want to, like, prohibit people from living their best lives, all they're thinking is, that's not how I would do it. Good. Then don't do it.
Exactly.
That's it.
It's like, you know, what is it? Iowa now is about ready to try and put a constitutional amendment on to ban same-sex marriage. There's a simple solution to this. And I've been saying it for years. If a guy came up to me and said, Rick, you know, I think a lot of you. You're a nice guy. I'd like to marry you. I would say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate the offer. Very nice of you. Glad you didn't hit me in the head with a brick. But no, I'll pass.
Yeah. If you don't like gay marriage, don't get gay married. It's easy.
And it's the same thing with abortion. I mean, it's the same thing there. Hmm? You're against it. Don't do it.
Exactly. That's you and your God. And and now it's just gotten to the point. I mean, the absurdity of it is really women who are, some women who wanted to get pregnant and find themselves in a situation where the fetus isn't viable, is already not having a heartbeat, and they can't seek medical help because the doctors are afraid of being persecuted and prosecuted, and they risk not being able to have a baby in the future and their own health. If they develop an infection, they could die. So it's
no, we're in scary times. Look, I've got two daughters. I worry about their future because we've got these zealots.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, all fun and games aside, we've got these zealots in positions of power who want to move us back to an idealized version of the 50s that may never have been, but they want the power and control to dictate what my daughters can do, and that's frightening to me.
It really is. I never thought that I would say that my state is a place where we're safe harbor right now for now. If things change, this is why we have to make sure that we're diligent, informed, and engaged heading into 24, because this is very perilous. The thing is, don't you think, Rick, is that we bought them hook, line, and sinker. We let them placate us with, oh, we're not going to do anything. We're, you know, it's the law of the land. It's settled precedent. A lot of us didn't believe that, but it was enough for us to go, okay, we'll just, all right, fine, have your three appointments. We'll just be over here. It's fine.
Stupid Democrats.
Yeah.
No, I blame Democrats for this.
I do too.
They should have inculcated it in law a long time ago. Yeah,
exactly.
Should have been this long.
Yeah.
Like you guys did this past election cycle, passed that workers' rights bill. That should be happening in states all across this country. I'm still waiting on Michigan. What the hell is Michigan waiting so long to repeal no rights at work? It should have been up and down by now.
Well, but the thing is that it's the language, right? At least we finally did it. Like, fair tax didn't work in 2020, and it should have, which was a graduated tax. But, I mean, usually Republicans are masterful at the language of twisting things and the messaging. Because, you know, right to work state, well, I would love to have the right to work, right? That seems – people. I mean, if people don't – if they're fed the lies and they believe it, and we saw what Fox – what Rupert Murdoch said, they couldn't tell the truth because then they would lose followers and viewers. Yeah, it comes back to the money.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And again, you look at this abortion issue, and you're right. There were people who, no, I looked into his soul, and he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Susan Collins. Now you've got South Carolina. God. That's introduced. They've now introduced a bill. Again, this wasn't going to happen. They promised.
No.
Just about Roe.
No.
Just about Roe. They've now introduced a bill that's going to allow women to be executed for having an abortion. We're now going to kill you.
The right to life crew wants to exterminate you if you don't follow their rules. And I asked people this years ago. I used to have a radio show on another station, and I would ask callers who were – it was a fairly conservative station, which maybe part of the reason why I was phased out. But I would ask people, do you think that women should be imprisoned for having an abortion? Should they face execution? And they're like, no, of course not, but I just don't want them to do it. Okay, you can – want them to not do it. It's none of your business. But here we are. Yeah. And are they going to give every fetus a social security number? How else is a citizen a citizen?
That's Rick Santorum would.
Yeah. All right.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, you've got these people who, I'm waiting for them to, you know, every sperm is sacred. You know, the Monty Python thing. I'm waiting for that. Because men, they're coming for you next. Trust me.
Yeah, they're gonna be collecting soggy socks all over the country. Is that it? Sorry. Is that too much?
No. That's I've been saying that for a long time. Eventually, they're going to get down to that level because it never stops. it never stops. But the reason I bring this up is, you know, the sad reality is you've got these people, these extremists, who it's never going to end. And, you know, I was saying, you know, several weeks ago that the crazies are, they're organizing. They're organizing around this idea that they're going to be protesting out in front of, you know, pharmacies this summer. And it looks like Walgreens has already blinked. You know, they're going to, because we can't sell this pill. No, these women are going to get this pill and it's going to be bad. It's going to get in the water and turn us gay. You just wait.
Well, I will say Walgreens bowing to them is going to be interesting because Governor Rauner, he was the, let's not get started, but Governor Pritzker has called for a meeting with them, which is going to be interesting because here's the thing. There might be 20 red states that want them to do this, and maybe they're threatening them, and, you know, we're going to withdraw contracts. Guess where most people live? In urban areas. We have bigger populations. Yep. I'm ready to go shopping somewhere else. I'm fine with that. But Pritzker's going to have a meeting with them, and my guess is this is where it gets a little exciting for me, where our governor's going to play hardball right back.
Yeah, they must live on the corner of stupid and crazy. Just saying. You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Patty Vasquez, comedian, policy advisor, activist, former candidate for House there in Illinois, and one of my favorite radio hosts heard on WCPT AM 820 weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. You can check out her website with kindwords.com. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. I want to get your thoughts on the whole Fox thing before I let you go. Sure. Kellyanne Conway was on with Hannity. And she looked directly into the camera and said, how many times have you been lied to by people whose job it is to tell you the truth in the media, all in the service of getting the president? And she did this with a straight face on the F channel.
Yeah. Well, there's also alternative facts. We've known for years that she's her cheese has slid off the cracker is all I'm saying. That's and by the way, really sad to hear about her impending divorce.
I'm sure George isn't. Yeah, but look, you know, I thought that they would make it. I thought they might make it. Because you know, I still have no idea how Mary Matlin and James Carville are still together.
Yeah. No, that's pretty crazy too.
I have no idea how that works.
I try not to imagine any of it working. Again, this goes back to the grift, right? It's all about the green. It makes no difference to them. People who own corporations, the billionaires, they want to maintain that power. They want to consolidate it. And they leaned into Fox News spreading that lie, and people died because of it.
Yeah, I'm hoping a line of people. We just had Nina Jankowicz on in the last hour. She's raising money to sue Fox News for what they did to her. And I'm hoping that, you know, Christine Blasey Ford comes out of the woodwork. I'm hoping a bunch of people who Fox has done hit jobs on over the years comes forward and lines up and sues them because, you know, now there's blood in the water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you know that you are spreading lies and it's libel, defamation, all those things. Yeah. Good luck, folks.
And I'm shocked that it's taken this long. For someone to go through discovery and find the kind of communications, because it's interesting to me. You know, my grandfather always said, never write something down you don't want your grandmother to read. These people were basically, you know, mocking their audience.
Yeah.
They were saying all the things that you and I have been believing for forever. They were saying it to each other.
So brazen. Well, two things, right? January 6th committee hearings showing all that footage and the exchanges, but Dominion having the money to take them to the mats. Yeah. And I love it. Yeah.
Real quick, we've got a minute. The mayor's race. I forgot to ask you about it.
Oh, yeah. Woo! I'm completely neutral because I'm hoping to be a part of the forum. I'm a little bit nervous about how people are already framing it. And I guess it has some legitimacy that it's a teachers against the cops in the sense that in a couple of things, race is involved. Paul Vallis was the only white guy in the race, and that makes a difference in one of the most segregated cities in the country. I live in a neighborhood with a lot of cops and firefighters, and Vallis lifted a lot of aldermanic races that might have been more vulnerable. And I'm saying neutral.
All right, are we happy Lori Lightfoot's gone?
Yes.
Everybody I know in Chicago, that's the consensus.
Yeah, I wish her the best. I think that, she came in contention.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. At least 9 deaths in 5 southern states are blamed on a large storm system with heavy winds and possible tornadoes. WHNT-TV's Jerry Hayes says in Huntsville, Alabama,
winds got up to almost 80 miles per hour in some areas, and thousands of North Alabamians lost power.
In the mountains of San Bernardino County, California, crews are plowing around the clock to reach trapped residents. Caltrans District 8 Deputy Maintenance Director Jim Rogers.
As of yesterday, our mountain crews have removed over 2.6 million cubic yards of snow off state routes. This is in addition to the snow removed by our contractor that we've hired through our director's order.
The lesion removed from President Biden's chest last month was cancerous. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
All cancerous tissue was successfully removed and no further treatment is required.
Alec Murdoch is behind bars for the rest of his life for killing his wife and youngest son. No chance of parole, but his lawyer, Dick Harpootlian, says
10 days will be filing an appeal.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
4 Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers wants to add 6 positions to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to better monitor and respond to animal disease outbreaks like the avian flu. Avian flu hit 29 flocks in Wisconsin last year in 18 different counties. Almost 3.3 million birds were killed because of the virus. The head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, says state help is needed as the number of veterinarians in rural areas continues to decline. It's unclear, though, if money for the new Strategic Animal Disease Response and Prevention Unit will be approved by the GOP-led legislature. Tax season is here. You need to file your 2022 federal and Wisconsin tax returns by April 18th. If you need more time, request an extension. If granted, that gives you until October 18th to file your taxes. I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. This is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you'd love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
One, this is Jim Hightower saying, Norfolk's derail train was made to derail. It pulled 149 cars stretching nearly 2 miles down the track, and it was ill-equipped to detect fires and other problems. This disaster was not an accident. It was mandated by the corporate and government officials now professing outrage. The Hightower Ring.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, another day, and still nothing from our Republican friends on the East Palestine front. And it's amazing how quickly that has fallen out of the outrage machine's sights. It's just incredible to me. I thought it would at least be a couple of weeks, you know, trying to court, you know, some working folks. But again, it comes down to the policies. There is none there. And this is where, again, this is where an opportunity for Democrats to really step forward and show the American people that they truly are the party of the working class. And again, got to get out there and don't offer to hold someone's coat in a street fight. Ball up the little digits and get in there and mix it up. And that's why I've asked Congressman Ruben Gallego to come talk with us. Ruben is running for Senate out in Arizona. And I am thrilled about this race. Ruben, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
So, you know, here's this frame that I have all the time is, you know, Democrats have always been seen weak on issues because they don't fight for things. This thing in East Palestine could have been a perfect opportunity for Democrats to really highlight the fact that Republican policies are horrible for working people, horrible for communities, especially rural communities.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, it's not just East Palestine. It happens all over the country. You know, we just discovered that there are hundreds of, you know, migrant children that are working in meatpacking factories, cleaning meatpack factories. And I did that type of work in high school. It's disgusting. It's hard. And we're making 13, 14-year-old kids do that. And they're exploited. And at the same time, American workers are being exploited all over this country. You know, they want to talk about what happened in East Palestine. But, you know, where were the Republicans? We were trying to give our railroad workers more time and days off. They basically abandoned the field of battle for that. But they just love talking about how much they're for that until they have to go against their own business class that actually owns them in the end. Yeah. So they're very much pro-worker as long as it doesn't piss off the Chamber of Commerce. And that's when all of a sudden they dissipate.
No, this is one of those
Democrats,
things where
the Democrats need to also step up and fight for aggressively for working class people. We do it a lot of times. We do it sometimes, however, we do it, you know, in an intellectual manner instead of the actual, you know, handshake retail where we should be, where we should stand with the people, working class people of East Palestine or whatever other part of this country.
No, and it comes back down to not just, you know, getting out there and walking, finding, I've been saying for years, we need to adopt a striker. Anytime there's a strike, you should be out there walking along with them, but also the policy part of this. Now, you know, the East Palestine situation, you know, I had, you know, people on this program from the railroad union saying months before this disaster happened, that disaster is coming. Safety is being cut at every corner. Inspections have been cut in half. You could get 90 seconds to inspect a rail car, and nobody was paying attention to it anywhere. This is where, again, we need much stronger labor laws in this country so that the people closest to the job have the ability to shut it down instead of having these big corporations with the kind of lobbying power and the kind of, well, to steal Rupert Murdoch's line, it's not about red or blue, it's about green, to steal that back. So this is where, again, we need major comprehensive labor law reform.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have the people that it's in their best interest to avoid regulation to be the regulator. And there has been a movement, unfortunately, really since Clinton, where we've actually taken away regulation from the public and then being in the public sphere and actually given it to the people that are supposed to watch themselves. I was actually, you know, get back to the meatpacking factory. I was actually there when the meatpacking factory moved from active FDA inspectors to self-reporting, where people would be audited instead of actually having a regulator on site that would actually make sure that, you know, the meat's stored in the right way, you know, there's separation properly of, you know, the, you know, blood from the meat, all these kind of really things that are very difficult to do. And we got away from that because I think in the name of trying to be, I don't know, bipartisan and more pro-business, we think that deregulation does that. Regulations are important to create trust in the system. Right now, there are lots of people that live near rail yards and not just rail yards, I'm sorry, near railroad tracks. They're now questioning whether or not they want to live there, whether they trust what's actually cutting through their backyards. And it's because we basically have taken away people's trust in government effectively regulating, business interests for the safety of the public.
I mean, the reality is, and what you're talking about is the perfect example that I use all the time is, you know, we should do away with policemen on the highway and we'll just self-regulate ourselves. Right. How do you think that's going to go? I mean, this is kind of the exact, it's the exact same thing. You give corporate America the ability to police themselves, they're going to look out for what's in their best interest, their bottom line best interest. They don't care about people like you.
If you don't make the penalties strong enough, what they end up doing is they end up making the penalty as part of the cost of business, right? And that I've seen that a lot, where some businesses will violate the law and they will go to court, they will diminish the fine, and then they end up basically paying a slap on the wrist and nothing actually changes.
Yeah. See, this is one of my favorite topics because, you know, I've got people who say, well, we need strong regulations. I'm a guy who says we need strong unions. I want people on the shop floor to have the power to say, this isn't safe. We're not doing it. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what the company says. We're not going to put ourselves in this. I would argue if those plants that those kids were 13-year-olds on the kill floor had strong unions, you wouldn't see 13-year-olds on the kill floor.
Oh, absolutely not. No. If these shops had been organized by UFCW, this would never have happened. Like, this is definitely happening in non-unionized shops, 100%.
So, again, I come back to, I see all of this organizing going on. In fact, this week we had Stephen Greenhouse on the program talking about, you know, all this organizing that's happening at Starbucks, at Amazon, Trader Joe's. And we can go on at all this organizing that's happening. They're not getting contracts. It's still not making people's lives better yet. Maybe it's going to happen. Maybe miraculously it's going to happen. These companies are going to come to their senses. But the laws are so badly broken that it's just not going to happen, in my view, which is why it comes back down to people like you who are willing to stand up and say we need major labor law reform. And look, for years they've been telling us we're going to get something. You know, during the Carter years, they were going to end Taft-Hartley. During the Clinton years, we were going to get strike replacement. During the Obama years, we were going to get the Employee Free Choice Act. Now we've got this PRO Act, and I don't see us any closer to getting this stuff done until we working people start voting for people who are going to push it through.
Look, number one, we not only have to just vote for people to push it through, you have to actually ask the secondary question, are you going to get rid of the filibuster to be able to pass these types of pieces of legislation? Because a lot of them will tell you yes, but then also go back quietly, you know, hold the filibuster to stop this type of progress when it comes to this. And the fact is, we have huge, huge wage disparity in this country, massive amount of income inequality. Some of the quickest way to actually reduce income inequality is to have people in unions. And I'm very lucky. I have a lot of union family. I have a brother-in-law who's a La Una in Chicago, a sister who's a teacher in Chicago. I have another brother-in-law who's a Teamster mechanic. I grew up in a carpenter union family. And while we were in the union, it was very good pay and very solid, stable pay for my family. There is a pathway to the middle class in a union. And you know, I think the U.S. government and the Democratic Party has to catch up, because younger and younger that you get within the voting world, they're actually more pro-union than people that are older, because they realize that the economy is tilted against them. They realize that the American dream that their parents had is not coming to them. And the only way they can actually really achieve a good middle class stable lifestyle is going to be through the power of the union, whether they are in the union. Or people also forget, you benefit, even if you're not in union, that there is a strong union around you, because it sets the floor wage at a higher level.
No, absolutely. And sadly, you know, I say this all the time, the younger generation just watch their parents get ground down, watch their pensions get stolen from them, watch wages being stagnant, watching them struggle as well, still doing okay, but holding on. And this is where I'm hopeful, like you, that the younger generation is going to move us in a good direction. But it's got to come with some labor laws. You know, you go back into the 10s and the 20s, you know, there was a lot of militant labor activity. It wasn't until we got the National Labor Relations Act that said government's going to encourage people to join and form unions, a kind of a peace treaty, if you will, because workers were literally tearing this country apart with strikes that were going on, that we saw a massive increase and then an explosion in a middle class. So that history is kind of important, I think.
Look, I think you're kind of seeing the elements of this right now. The fact that a lot of people aren't going back to work right now.
Yeah.
And I hear this from the business community, like people aren't going back to work. Like, well, you know why they're not coming to work? Because they get treated like shit. Their pay hasn't increased. They enjoyed being home. They realize that they can stay at home and maybe they're not making as much money, but they'd rather sacrifice money to be able to spend time with their family. And why are they going to go struggle and work for a company that doesn't care about them, that doesn't give them consistent, you know, wage growth, that doesn't give them stability? And that's why, you know, everyone's, you know, these businesses are asking, like, when can we get the the workers back. Like, you're going to get the workers back when you start treating them with respect.
Yeah.
You start actually paying them. You know, and until you do that, you're going to have this continuation happening. And so in some sense, there is a kind of a small, subtle strike that's happening right now. But if we could organize people to actually fight for unions for them, you'll see you'd see a lot better results. And again, you'd actually grow the American middle class.
No, absolutely. I'm right there with you. You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Congressman Ruben Gallego. He's the congressman for Arizona's 3rd Congressional District, also running for Senate. You can check out his website, GallegoForArizona.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can help them out. I'm sure a donation would be always appreciated. These are
always
expensive,
especially for March 31st.
Always expensive stuff. But you brought up the filibuster, and I think this is kind of one of the most important things, because Senator Sinema, she's been a roadblock to a lot of progress in the Senate. And I say the Senate's the place where things generally, where progress goes to die, and she's been one of the guards of that. The question then comes, you know, why you, Ruben? Why you and instead of her?
Well, look, I didn't want it to be me. I actually was very supportive of Kyrsten Sinema for many years. And I love the job I'm doing in the House right now. I actually have seniority. I get to be on great committees that focuses on veterans, on the military affairs. I love my district. I have a baby girl coming. I mean, all these things. But I didn't go to Congress and sacrifice time away from my family to not actually do change. And I was really excited in 2020 when we had an opportunity, when we hit the trifecta. I actually thought this is an opportunity really to change the direction of this country, to really make people a priority instead of the business community the priority, to really make available the American dream to everybody. And I was pumped about it. And then time and time again, Kyrsten kept on being the obstructionist that she is and stopping real progress. We had the opportunity of the child tax credit. That child tax credit brought childhood poverty down 50%. And so what does she do? She does nothing to fight for it. She ends up fighting for hedge funds and Wall Street managers for their carried interest loophole instead of for working families. We had an opportunity to really rebuild this country with a real infrastructure law. And she basically watered that down. We had an opportunity for working parents to actually have stable, subsidized childcare so that they could continue their work and not just work to pay for a childcare so they can just have, you know, the bare get along by the bare minimum. And she stood in that way. I'm not here on this earth and certainly not in Congress to do incremental change. And she stands in the way. And she's not going to change, so I'm going to have to change her out of there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the day I lost faith in her is the day whatever that costume she was wearing, and did that little dance voting down the minimum wage increase, the little curtsy with the McCain thumbs down.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think people will, besides like that, you know, I have horrible taste, so I am never, ever going to comment on anybody else's clothing, because God knows, like, I've seen some pictures of me, and that was always a big mistake. But from my perspective of what people felt in Arizona, it was not what she was wearing. It's that she did it and then afterwards did not talk to Arizonans and said, hey, this is why I felt I had to do it. She just walked away and then, you know, basically told the press nothing and never went back to Arizona and had a town hall and stood there on the firing line and said, hey, this is why I did it. No, she just expected the Arizonans, not Democrats, not Republicans, not independents. She expected just Arizonans to suck it up and deal with it. Guess what? You don't get to do that when you're an elected official, right? My bosses are the voters of Arizona. And if I do something that is against their will, they have a right to call me in and ask me, what was my thinking? What was my motivation? Now, we may not agree with what it is, but it is my job to at least explain myself. And she feels that she's above that. You're not above that. No one's above that if you're running for office.
I wouldn't expect you to comment on her clothing. I can do that, though. Just the whole display to me was well off and a slap in the face to working people. But you brought up the first term, and I want to finish up on this because I think what you guys accomplished in those first 2 years, transformational. I think what the Biden administration has put us on a course towards is in 10 years, we're going to look back at that being a pivotal moment in moving this country in leaps and bounds forward.
Yeah.
So I most certainly want a Senate who's going to be thinking in terms of making sure that we do all the things that you guys got accomplished in that short period of time, and then expanding on and making sure that happens going forward, which is why I think it's important to have, you know, working class centric senators in that institution, in that body.
Well, I think it's important to have people that remember being working class. Sinema has forgotten where she came from. And maybe she didn't work in the factories or in the sites that I did. Maybe she didn't work, as a janitor. Maybe that's why she's totally forgotten about it. But we need people that actually go to Washington D.C. that are working class and remember what it means to actually be working class, because that's who you need to be fighting for right now.
Yeah, I wish you the best. I hope March 31st, I think you said, was the deadline.
March 31st is going to be the first big deadline, so please go to GallegoForArizona.com. We are powered by small dollar donors. We have already more than 7,000 individual small dollar donors. She's going to be largely funded by Wall Street. We can beat her with the power of small dollar donors. There's not enough people out on Wall Street to give her money, but there are millions of people that can give us $5, $10, and it adds up. It adds up, trust me.
As I say, we've out-procreated them, even if they do have all the money. Ruben, I appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again. Keep up the great work. And again, we want you to come back early and often.
Yeah, my pleasure. Gracias. Have a good night.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Congressman Ruben Gallego. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. Are you a trade union worker? Have you ever worked at a prevailing wage job site? Then today in labor history is an important day for you. The year was 1931. Congress passed the Davis-Bacon Act. This act required that any new construction or repair of a public building or public works project of more than $2,000 that included federal funding must pay a prevailing wage. The legislation was named for the bill's architects, New York Republican Congressman Robert Bacon and Pennsylvania Republican Senator James Davis. The prevailing wage refers to a standard local wage. By maintaining a standard wage, this ensures that contractors could not win bids on federal projects by driving down labor costs or providing less than quality work. The goal was to protect the workers and ease the volatility of the construction industry. There have been criticisms of the law. At the law's passing, white workers dominated the construction trade unions. Prevailing wage laws ensured that construction bosses could not bring in cheaper, non-unionized black labor to underbid the union construction labor. This meant that many black workers effectively found themselves barred from federal construction projects. Like many of the gains made by labor at the time, the benefits were not equally distributed along the lines of race and gender. Today, on an annual basis, roughly between 20% of all construction projects in the United States fall under the jurisdiction of the Davis-Bacon Law. Unions also regularly organize to encourage private construction projects to honor these laws. Prevailing wage remains one of the most important legal protections for trade union labor. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2. Show. Check out our website, TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. One of the reasons I love doing this show is it's funny sometimes where two emails in a row, one came in from no name, you're an idiot, I hate you. The other one from Darren, Budweiser's good tonight. Great show. Wish you were on all the channels, ABC, NBC, CBS, the Crap Channel, and F Channel. You are a hero. I'm a hero. Thank you. And thank you. I love the fact that even people who hate me listen. And that is a good thing. And maybe, look, someone's got to tell them, and I'm happy to do it. happy to be here, to be the one to inform, to educate, to motivate, to engage. Maybe this is how we come back together. And this is one of those issues. This is one of those issues that I think, you know, corporate America, again, sticking it to us. You remember that whole H2Q thing that went on that, you know, Amazon was running? That whole scheme that they had like 230 different municipalities across the country believing that it was possible that they were going to land the Amazon headquarters. They did a great job of selling it. Yes, you in Dubuque, we're going to bring the greatest minds in internet technology to Dubuque. Yes, you in you know upstate Wisconsin, you in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, you in name the city. They had people believing it. And what these cities did is they spent a lot of taxpayer money putting together these incredibly detailed demographic plans and all of the, you know, just all this, compiled all this information, geography, demographics, you know, all kinds of stuff to make the sale of, hey, this is why this is the best location. They all, because again, it comes down to location, location, location. But again, they were willing to sell their souls and the baby and the bathwater and all of that too. And the weird thing is we don't get to see these plans. This is the most bizarre part of all this. Our tax dollars went into making these detailed plans for Amazon. You know, the courtship. You know, this is kind of like a courtship, if you will. It's the love letters, if you will, that we don't get to read. We don't get to read the love letters that our local governments gave to Amazon to entice them to come and be part of our community and, well, you know, steal the tax base and all that. Everyone knew right from the beginning they were going to end up in New York or D.C. They ended up in both. So, who didn't call that one? But they got all this information for free. Congratulations. They fleeced the entire country out of a whole bunch of really incredibly detailed information about, you know, citizens and stuff and got all the research done for free. But it was going to be, they were going to build this second headquarters and there was going to be this incredible headquarter park and it was going to create, you know, 18,000 jobs and it was going to be incredible. Well, they have begun, you know, building some, I guess. There has some been built. They've the first phase opens, I guess, sometime this June, maybe, from what I'm understanding. They've hired a bunch of people. It's the second part that they're going, well, you know, maybe not. We're gonna hold back because the Met Park campus, I guess they're already putting the kissing touches on June, like I said. It's the Penn Place, I guess the second phase, that's not happened yet. I guess this was supposed to be the part that was in New York that, you know, people in New York said, what? We're giving you billions of dollars? Why would we do that? How stupid do you think we are? They're holding off. Evidently, a bunch of layoffs going on across the country. They've had their biggest round of layoffs, I guess, in the company's history. And they're doing more planning on shifting to more remote work. Because, again, Amazon, you know, the one thing you can give credit for Amazon with is they're figuring out how to cut their costs and their exposure and maximize their profits. They really are a company willing to squeeze the quarter until the eagle just dies. So you're going to see more people working remotely for Amazon. Just like, you know, someone was telling me what they're trying out for delivery, that, you know, on your way home, you can swing by the Amazon facility and they'll load up your trunk with, you know, five or six deliveries on the way home. You can pick up 30 or 40 bucks on the way home. It's gas money. It'd be good for you. You know, so they, you know, they don't have to have delivery service. Yeah. And if they can get everybody doing this, we can all chip in and we can all be Uber kind of, you know, delivery drivers. That's the future. Everybody's their own boss, their own gig worker. The future. Now, granted, we're going to all be scrapping for pennies. We're going to all be, you know, trying to slit each other's throats for pennies. running over each other to get one more package to deliver. Ah, the future. So bright in Amazon world. But they're stopping the construction of the groundbreaking of the second part. And I got to wonder if it's ever going to happen. Just a thought. Want to hear yours. If you missed any of today's program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find ours, from Stitcher to Podbean, iHeart to iTunes, and everywhere all around. We are there. Something I said.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.